The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Not just any Wednesday morning, but Happy New Year. January 1st, 2025 Wednesday morning. From all of us here to Numbers Game, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, the VSiN app, it's Gil Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Happy New Year's to you, ringing in 2025. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Let's go. 2025's here.
2025 is here. You know, I was saying to Deborah Song, fashion stylist yesterday. Yes, exactly. I said to her yesterday, I go, can you believe it's been a quarter century since Y2K?
No.
She goes, yeah, it kind of feels like 25 years. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe you're right. then I workshopped, right? This is workshopping this. And then I was like, can you believe that we're just shy of 5 years away from the onset of the pandemic?
That's crazy, too.
To which she also said, yeah, no.
I don't know. The pandemic's tough because like at times it feels like it was a year ago, and at times it feels like it was 20 years ago. So I don't really know.
Yeah, it kind of messes up with your sense of
especially
time.
Since we were, like, working throughout it. We're like, let's do sports betting shows with Russian ping pong?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, there was that. It's all about college football today. Maybe not all, but generally about college football today. As the national quarterfinals began last night, which we'll get into momentarily, Penn State's win over Boise State. JVT will join us momentarily to talk about his thoughts on the three remaining quarterfinal games today. And, of course, the NBA, as he is our senior NBA analyst. Kelly, you and me with our New Year's betting resolutions.
Let's go.
This is a primetime action tradition.
Yeah, I think we've done this every year.
I think
right?
maybe.
We did it last year.
I think so.
I think.
You know.
I don't know. I asked for last year's graphics. Ryan never sent them to me, so maybe we didn't. I found ones from 2 years ago.
And then we'll talk college football with Tim Brando from Fox Sports joining the show this morning. That's very nice of him to do so on this New Year's Day. Chris Velika. Double duty with Velika, the Bear. Looking forward to that as well on this New Year's morning. And then Adam Burke, which is really the hardest booking of all of these people, is Adam Burke.
Adam Burke's a busy guy. He's on a lot of shows, does a ton around here.
He is our VC.
He was excited to come on today, though.
Managing editor. We're excited to have him.
I think he's on Skype, but I don't know. Maybe we'll get a surprise in studio appearance.
Listen, if I had my way, I would have Adam Burke on every single week.
He's one of the best.
But you can't get him on. He's too busy.
Busy guy.
I mean that about Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Let us begin with last night's opening to the quarterfinal. Again, big stretches between the first round and the quarters, then between the quarters and the end of next week will be the semis, and then we got to wait even longer for the final. So this will be a bit of a drag-out thing, but thank goodness we have a 12-team playoff. I think most feel that way. I don't know. We'll see how people feel after all is said and done.
Yeah.
But after a first round that featured nothing but blowouts, apologies to Clemson, I get it. You were kind of in it at one point. Penn State 31, Boise State 14, a final score that looks a lot more lopsided than it actually was. And I think the question that we bandied around yesterday after this game, those of us in our little thread with Fezzik, Will Hill, Wishnev, and Felika was, obviously Penn State gets the money, but what was the gambler's narrative? What was the right side? What was the right side in this game? And we came to the conclusion, by the way, we all had Penn State in the end, but we came to the conclusion the line was probably right. That both sides could claim after this that they were, in fact, the right side. Now, I know the people with Boise State tickets are like, what are you talking about? There were so many missed opportunities for Boise State. They lost the turnover battle 4-1. They missed two field goals. By the way, you see that first field goal? Oh, my God.
This is where...
Jesus, what was that?
College kickers and college free throw shooters. Have fun.
Even Bob Wischusen, who's fantastic, by the way. Bob Wischusen, who did the game with Lewis Riddick yesterday, he thought it had to be blocked. He's like, I think it must have been blocked. No, it was blocked.
Lewis Riddick, who I don't know, works more than anybody in sports, it seems. Like, I feel like he's on two games a weekend, and then I see him on ESPN every single day.
Yeah. Boise State also had 13 penalties. Penn State still had 10, by the way. 23 total penalties in this game. Boise State had a touchdown callback. So there was definitely an argument to be made that Boise State could have covered. They were in cover range for most of this game. As the total, by the way, goes under the total of 55, only 45 scored. But I would argue if you're on the Penn State side of things, again, the 10 penalties, We tend to gloss over the fact that Abdul Carter was hurt for most of this game. He left the game in the second quarter. That's obviously a massive loss for the Penn State defense. And then there was the question of Penn State's really strange play calling at different times of the game. There were a couple third and shorts, one deep in their own territory, where they decided, let's just throw in a misdirection pass play just for giggles. And it didn't work either time. And so, and then Penn State, when they got to it, they sort of gashed.
Yeah.
So I think you can make a case for both sides. I don't think there was, in other words, in the end, a quote-unquote right side. Pardon me. But the Nittany Lions backers get the money. 31-14, they cover the 11.5 consensus spread in this one. It's also a very strange sort of final sequence to this game, where Penn State got into the got it to 31-14, so they were in cover mode here, and James Franklin keenly aware of the cover of what number he's
still a thing with James Franklin.
Oh, he knows, trust me, he knows. But Boise State then decided to run Ashton Gentry. So this is the last couple minutes of the game. You're down 17. You got to matriculate the ball down the field. And they start handing the ball off to Genty. And so I immediately go, they're trying to give him 100 yards here or something. Yeah. Three plays later, Wischusen and Riddick were like, oh, I think they're trying to give him 100 yards. Felica correctly said, no, it's not just the 100 yards. Maybe they're trying to get Genty to break the all-time record.
Yeah.
By the way, record in like not only quotes, but in massive quotes. Because we talked about this with Saquon this week in the NFL. Saquon can break, quotes, Eric Dickerson's all-time record, right? The one of single-season rushing record for rushing yards, which O.J. Simpson had in 14 games that Eric Dickerson has currently, having played a 16-game schedule. Saquon is going to be a 17-game schedule with a bye. And then, of course, the counter to that is he has fewer carries than does Dickerson at this point.
Which I feel is important to point out.
It is important to point out.
But
it's still 17 with a bye.
It's an asterisk to the asterisk.
Asterisk to the asterisk. But the point is that one you can sort of...
Right.
You can sort of
I get on board with it still.
You can have a debate about that. This one you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Barry Sanders had his record in 11 football games. And they don't count 200-plus yards that he got in a bowl game. So record schmeckered is, I believe, what my mom used to say on this.
I was trying to find the carries for Barry, but
anyway, by the way, he didn't get it. Genty didn't, but it was just a very strange ending to the game where they, and it was the one thing that was chosen. By the way, again, I'll say it again. I feel like Bob was chosen as one of the more underrated play-by-play guys in all of college football, and he did a great job. They did miss on that because no one whispered in his ear that that's probably what was happening there. But it took a late Penn State pick. They did so on the final two Boise State drives, but on that last drive to assure the cover in that one. As far as the other college football games yesterday, I had South Carolina. I got that game wrong. Did you see any of the Beamer versus Bielema cage match?
No, I did not.
This was the weirdest thing ever yesterday. So South Carolina did this thing where they kept substituting, right? And they kept substituting in a way where they wouldn't stop. And it was, and Bielema's reaction to this was, I am going to slow play. You know how the defense gets
Bielema? An equal.
Bielema, yeah. When do I say Bielema? Yeah.
Well, I mean, whatever. Is that a new guy?
The point is that his face is extremely punchable. We have the numbers game investigative staff to find out if it's the most punchable face.
Ashton Gentry with 30 more carries than Barry Sanders.
30 more carries.
Yeah.
Right. But he ends up falling less than 30 yards short of the single season rushing record.
27
yards short. And again, really, would we have been saying Ashton Gentry had that record afterwards?
And eight touchdowns. Barry Sanders had 37 touchdowns that year, rushing touchdowns. It's incredible.
It was also a time, 1988, where I'll speak for those who grew up on the East Coast. The way that college football was back then, we didn't get to see any of it.
Yeah.
We didn't see any of it. I think we saw Barry Sanders finally in a bowl game. But like the whole year, we were aware of these stats he was accumulating, but we never got to see an Oklahoma State game the entire year.
Mm.
Anyway, I got the South Carolina game wrong because Illinois ends up winning it late. But it was just this thing where Bielema finally, he was just like, you know, he would slow play the defensive substitutions. Then there was an Illinois player hurt sort of on the South Carolina side of the field. So when he went out there, he taunted with a What's the substitution?
Substitution or whatever.
No, with it, you know, with the arms extended, let the substitutions happen. And so Beamer just lost his mind. He thought there was going to be a fight in that. So today, the three games, we're going to talk about this all day long here, obviously, on the show. Do you have any bets on these games?
I have not made a single bet yet, Gil, but I've written down a few things. I'm going to see what the guests say today because we got some great college football guests on. Well, once again, I've remembered for the fourth time that I have a Georgia national championship future, so I'll be rooting for Georgia.
I do, too, at 5-1.
That's right.
The quietest bet ever made.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think I'm going to play the under in that game. That makes a lot of sense, but waiting to hear from some of our guys today. And then
can Texas cover this number against Arizona State?
I'm thinking Texas, and I'm thinking Oregon. That's what I'm thinking.
Thinking Oregon now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Texas, I feel very chalky, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia, although now Notre Dame is a bit of a tick of a favorite at DraftKings. You see this?
Yeah, it's bouncing Georgia around. As well. Yeah, you can find ones on either side, pick them. If we're going to get involved in Texas, we might need to do it soon.
It's moving on up.
Yeah, it's moving on up.
Yeah, or in-gaming all of it. We'll do all that. By the way, and before we get there, because we've got nothing but guests, so I just want to get out this thought. Right after the show yesterday, remember how I was speculating on the show with that Rams number going? I was like, Oh, maybe he's sitting everybody. Right after the show, Sean McVay, the reports come out. He's sitting everybody in the Rams game, which, again, is just me not following my own advice. The advice being, these teams tend to care about seeding less than we do as bettors and handicappers.
Mm-hmm.
I am an idiot.
Yeah, well, it's odd to me they don't. Like, I'm surprised, but he's done it before. We're here as guys.
I think I'll try to explain why. It's a pretty simple explanation. On the other side, JVT as well. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, you want to become a sharper bettor this holiday season? I know you do. VSiN has the ultimate gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. It's the final week to take advantage of our holiday special. Get VSiN Pro access for everything we do. We offer it through May 1st for just $79. How about that? Sign up now. Get instant access to daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access to all of our insights and our betting guides, expert picks as well. That includes our college football betting guide, Super Bowl, March Madness, everything you need to win big this season. Make this holiday season unforgettable with the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and unwrap your winning edge today. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa on this New Year's Day 2025. Good God.
I want 12.5, Gil. I can only find 13 on Texas.
I just bet it at 13.
Waiting for Felica, even though I have a feeling he likes Arizona State.
Because I feel like by game time, which is what, 2.5 hours from now? It's going to be pushing 14. I agree. Get it right now. Before we continue, by the way, can I just say that after the show today, a special college football tailgate show.
Yeah, big day here on VSiN.
If you like after this show, you're like, oh my God, Gil and Kelly, you're going away. Don't worry. Don't fret. Because Tim Murray and Dustin Sweetelson will be here for College Football Tailgate Special Edition.
That's right. Saw Dustin on the Pro Picks page last night firing away. So I know he's got a lot. I know he's doing a lot with the props.
I like it when that kid fires.
Yeah, he does a lot of player props.
He does.
Like, if, I mean, NBA, he does a great job with NBA player props. Yeah.
Zach does a lot of NBA player props as well. You do as well. Matt
I do a little bit. It might be on my New Year's betting resolutions coming up.
I don't know how you steered it towards the NBA there. We're talking about college football, but nice job. Nice job you did there.
I don't know how I did either. Oh, Dustin. Dustin does a lot of player props.
Sweetelson. That's right after the show coming up at about an hour and a half. But so much more show between now and then, including your tweets at Beating the Book, Las Vegas 514. Double yo. Happy New Year to you and Kelly. New Year's resolutions for 2025. Commodore Super Bowl victory. Finally visit Gil and young Kelly in person. See you in March. Let's go, he says. Come on, Las Vegas. Nice to meet you.
Come on, man.
Come on down. Josie 714, Happy New Year. Totally agree. Genty, quote unquote, breaking Barry Sanders' record wouldn't feel legit. Jimmy Lopez, Happy New Year's, fellas. Looking forward to another year of Kelly's head nod. Investing in a quarry in North Carolina.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
That's a very good reference to the clay that is used on Hartree courts in tennis. Gil's Achilles stories and Gil's three favorite phrases: on your racket, Katie bar the door, and matriculating. absolutely right.
I one of my favorite moments of 2024 was you and Fezzik arguing over Katie Bar the door, and me finding Googling, and one of the first images that comes up is literally a painting of Katie barring a door.
Right, but Crack had my back, though, because me and Crack grew up with the same meaning of it, yeah, where we grew up, which is the game's over kind of thing, which is really not what the meaning is, as we found out.
It's not. No. I don't remember. Do I have to look it up again? I
think, yes,
I
gotta please
look it
do.
Up. Katie, what were you barring the door from?
Jason H11, Happy New Year, guys. May your 2025 be filled with lots of big wins and not so many bad beats. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that very much. Same to you.
It means to take precautions. There's trouble ahead.
Yeah, it's not how we use it. Buddhist Man, Happy New Year to Kelly Gill and all the guests, Phil and host, and everyone working behind the scenes at VEASAN to bring us the best show and allowing us to be the best listeners, betters in the game. Thank you, Buddhist. You are the best listener in the game. And then Chance Copperpot. Gil, did I just hear you drop into a saucy Southern accent while doing the Sewell's read? Happy New Year's to all. Yes, because someone told me to do it yesterday. And, you know, if someone tells me to do it, then I just do it. Jesse Welch, I think Gil and Kelly might owe Adam Burke money or something based on the heaps of praise to start the show. Just joking, fellas. Love me some Berkey. He called him Berkey. That's true. I love Adam Burke. That was legit. We don't owe him any money. A. Brown, are you aware of any resources that compile player contract incentives heading into week 18, other than, you know, doing the research myself? Happy New Year to you both. I don't know specifically about anything that does, but that's a great thought. Right?
You know what? I know our fine producer, Matt Deutsch of the VEASAN Morning Line, put together a bunch of them this morning.
About a bunch of incentives?
And it's a really good Sal thought. Betts, Twitter handle, I believe, is where he got a bunch of these.
At Sal Betts.
Yep. S-A-L Betts.
And then Todd Bubba Horowitz, who's doing the seminar and we hope to have on the show. He says, Happy New Year. Looking forward to another year of a numbers game. Thanks for all the hard work. You too, Todd.
Before we move on, can I bring up something I just noticed? This is a behind-the-scenes VEASAN thing that's been irritating me.
Oh, no. What did I do?
Special numbers game investigation.
What did I do?
So, we've talked about this. For whatever reason, thermostats set at 64 degrees in the studio every, night, morning. I don't know who at night needs it at 64 degrees. And every morning I walk in here and I'm blown away that Dave Ross has not changed it at all. Today I see he has changed it. He cranked it up to a whopping 68 degrees, Gil.
We're freezing
in here. It's freezing.
By the way, can we also send a shout out to Stormy Bonatoni, who is doing the sideline of the Rose Bowl game today between Oregon and Ohio State. So it's going to be Fowler and Herbstreit with Holly Rowe and our own Stormy Bonatoni.
That's awesome. That is great.
Oh, I'm so happy for her. We asked her to be on the show this morning and she said, too big time for you guys. No, she didn't say that. She just couldn't. She was so apologetic. We love Stormy. We're very, we're biggest supporters.
I think I was bugging her right in the smack dab middle of media days too. She got back to me like 6 hours later. She's like, sorry, I've been so busy.
She's
like,
phenomenal. Don't worry, Stormy. And good luck to her today. She won't need it, but good luck nonetheless, because that's the kind of type of thing you say to somebody. And now it's time for our New Year's betting resolutions for 2025. Do we have a big, sexy intro?
No, but you just did it, man.
We do not.
Yeah, you just did it.
Okay. Shall I go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first. All
right. My honor, Your Honor. Bet even more tennis. Continue to trust my numbers. Maybe take grass season off. That's my first resolution. Tennis.
It's not the first part of this that surprises me at all. But I'm not even surprised, but the second part of it, because this is something that in 2024 became a thing, and you became...
It's only 6 weeks. It's not a bad time to take a break anyway.
Right.
Because you've just every day betting tennis.
Yeah, you've gone for months at that point, every day.
And when you say betting, it's not just betting, it's you're crunching the numbers.
Yes.
Which takes, I don't think people realize that with tennis and you with golf.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job. We don't just do this, then we go and it's a lot. And sometimes there's in the first rounds of weeks where there's five different tournaments, there's 70, 80 matches to crunch numbers on. So bet even more, but maybe grass season off, because grass season doesn't go as well. Something happens with my numbers. Number two, continue to exploit information-based markets like drafts, NFL, NBA, that kind of thing, and lightly bet markets like the College World Series. These are you could put them in any year, I think, as good betting sort of guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
The College World Series over the past few years has become big for you.
Bet MLB judiciously, but not rampantly, especially monthly MLB best record markets. We'll dive into that again.
Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, what a shot in the arm that was for MLB betting this year.
Big time,
And shout out to all the books, Circa, William Hill Caesars that put those up each and every month. DraftKings did it for March, April, but those two did it for the whole season. Remain true to the ANG brand of betting education while keeping it light. And number five, and perhaps the most important, continue to interact with the best listeners of any show ever in the history of radio.
That's right. I like it.
Those are mine. Kelly?
All right, cool. Go to mine. I like that we did a couple that were just not pure betting ones, because we kind of, like, we've done that mainly in the past, which is pure betting. And I've been in the mindset the past couple months now, ever since the NBA started. I was texting you about this morning. This is a little bit more of a life resolution thing. But this is, as soon as NBA season started, it was, all right, if I am done with work for a numbers game, it is, I am working out or I'm crunching NBA numbers. Wow. And or every single day. And if I'm not doing one of those, I'm failing myself every single day. So if it's not, like you're talking about with tennis, NBA handicapping, some days that it can go pretty light for me. I can look at a board. I can look at numbers quick, see if there's anything there or not. But if I go a week or so without really sinking my teeth into some stuff and looking at some deeper numbers, that irritates me. It throws me off my process. So that's kind of where I'm operating in, day out right now, just in life. Now, getting to the actual sports, NBA, I think specifically the start of this season, has been a little frustrating. I'm up a few units overall. I'm up more in my, well, I have a pretty good record, Gil, but it's one of those, like, the big bets have gone, like, meh. They've been, like, 50-50, and it's driving me insane. This is usually the time of year that I hit a groove at some point, so I'm waiting. I'm trying to be patient, block out all the noise that even you can get in your own head, and stick to the process that you know what gets you there. Now, I'm going to jump down two, actually, because the one I want to get involved in more, and this is where I want to spend more of my time, is with player props. It is not something I've had a huge amount of success with in the past, to be honest. That's why I don't bet a ton of them, but I know there should be ways for me to find value on those, and it irritates me when I just decide to pass up even spending the time on it. So, yeah, that's one I'm going to be trying to do a little bit more. And when it does come to sides and totals, if I see an edge, I'm usually betting pretty big when it comes to sides. One thing I don't do very often, though, is bet alts. And that's another one. If you're off by multiple points, bet the alts, you coward. Stop being a coward. And then golf. I think the one thing this year I'm really going to try to focus on is the round-by-round betting. I'll usually make a few. Like, you don't hear me too often come in here on a Friday and be like, hey, I've got three more bets added to my card, right? I don't do that a whole lot. Usually stick mainly with what I've bet pre-tournament, or if there's live betting opportunities over the weekend, I'll get involved. But round-by-round, I did pretty well with last year, so I'm going to try to focus a little bit more on that this season.
I like it. Kelly Bidlin's New Year's betting resolutions, right, as well. Perhaps you have your own. Do you really work? Are you going to stick to the workout thing?
Hell yeah, man.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm in the best groove of my life right now.
Best groove?
Yeah.
How much weight have you lost?
55 pounds.
Get out of here. 2024. Look at you. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. On a mission. Coming back, Tim Brando from Fox Sports on the college football quarterfinals. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game, New Year's Day edition, right here at Circa. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, thanks for joining us on this New Year's morning. VSiN.com, VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're doing it. We appreciate it. Coming up this hour, Chris Felica, the Bear, here standing by to talk college football with us. And Adam Burke, the toughest booking of them all.
That's right.
Our VSiN managing editor coming up. We're looking forward to talking to Adam. By the way, what was your favorite part of my interview with Tim Brando last segment? What was your favorite part? What question do you think I nailed?
When you asked him what his favorite stadium food is.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that went pretty well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Greg Jones. Oh, Greg was one of the four choppers at the end of Survivor last year. Oh, listen to this. He said, when I was bartending in college, Eric Dickerson tipped me $5 on a $200 bill.
What?
Go Saquon. Hope he gets the record by 1 yard.
That's a great story.
Wow.
And just awful.
Oh, man. Wow. Jeez. James Sott. Happy New Year, a numbers game crew. My betting resolutions. One, limit my grass court tennis betting. Two, try to in-game bet more. Three, like Kelly, look at player prop market more. Happy New Year to you, Jim.
I'm going to try to limit my grass court betting, too.
That's, yeah, right. You should really do it. You should
it's
really
out of
limit
control,
it.
Man.
Colin Murphy, Happy New Year, Gilly Kelly. This year, I am not going to be afraid to continue to fade teams that are highly overrated in the market. For example, FSU and the University of Arizona in college football. Sorry, Kelly. and the Titans in the NFL. These teams aren't due. The market just never adjusts. Andy Christensen. Andy, you cannot be serious about this question. He says, who do you like for Survivor in Week 18? Between the Colts, Texans, Bengals, and Rams. Andy, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm long out of Survivor. And if you're still in it, my God, if you've gotten this far, please, you don't need my advice. You do you on this.
I was impressed that you had asked JVT about Circa Millions. I don't know about you. It's been a couple years since I've submitted picks past Christmas.
No. He was the reason I asked, because he was in it after 2 weeks last week. I think he was like well in the hunt.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. That's why. It wasn't just randomly asking him. Yeah. Mariners Geek came back. He says, forget my resolutions. I have Gil's resolutions. Tell us the name of that GD sushi place, he said.
My favorite part of that whole story still is that I went there and I cannot tell you the name of it.
And Colin Murphy says, also, Gil and Kelly, can we hear your Australian accent that you use for your brother-in-law? Is that you?
Yeah, we might have to get a few drinks of me first, though. Yeah.
First we play in Brisbane, then we go to Adelaide, then we go to Melbourne. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Bear at Fox Sports. He used to be the Bear at ESPN. Now he's the Bear at Fox Sports. He is the host of the Bear Bets podcast, both football, pro and college. And of course, he is on Big Noon Saturdays talking football with us. It's Chris Velika, everybody, kind enough to join us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line on this New Year's Day 2025. Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year. Same to you and Kelly. Boy, I was going to say, you must be sliding Adam Burke an extra 50 or a C note every time you get him on the show for the amount of times that each volunteers to come on your show. You must have a little side deal going with him.
Well, Brando's interview went so well. He was like, I'll come on for free. That's what he said.
That is the upset of the year. The very young 2025. And no one likes talking college football as much as Timmy B. So, yeah, something must have been going on at the Chateau where he was unable to get out of the rack this morning.
Yeah, maybe he had a good night last night. Who knows?
Might have.
Let me ask you about last night's game first. Well, before we even get to last night's game, Alabama complete no-show yesterday against Michigan. Three turnovers. It was a turnover on downs, then two fumbles and an interception. Michigan goes up 16-0. Alabama can never quite get back in it. Then South Carolina, based on how they've been playing, kind of disappointing against Illinois, at least I thought. And there was a whole Bielema. By the way, where do you stand on that? On that whole Beamer, Bielema thing yesterday?
I did not watch but like a few plays of that game. I was dialed into the Sun Bowl because I had UW plus 2.5 is one of my early plays.
And never in doubt. Never in doubt.
I am the first one to like joke about like CLV and like, the 4-point CLV. Look at how that goes. And I think for the first time in my life, it actually played out in my favor, where the fact that I did get the best of the number on UW wound up working out. But yeah, they were dead in the water and then somehow worked their way back in the game. So yeah, I did not see really much of the, I guess that was at the Cheez-It Bowl that they were playing in. So I can't comment on that. But the Alabama game, that I don't want to say surprised me. But at the same time, yeah, of course, everybody now jumping to conclusions it's like you always say, like it's the results based handicapping. Oh, see, they lost. They look terrible. But yeah, I think the bigger issue for Alabama now moving forward is under Nick Saban, like the most impressive thing that they did was never losing to unranked teams. Like they won like 100 straight games against unranked opponents. And now this year they lost to 3. So like that's getting back to like being able to play week in, week out. We'll see if they can do that, because it's an ominous sign, I think, for the long term, for the future, immediate future rather, of the Alabama football program, where remember a couple of years ago, Nick Saban was talking about how TCU got in the playoff and they probably should have. And hey, we'd be favored by whatever. And you look at who we beat, and they went out and they absolutely annihilated Kansas State. Could have done the same thing yesterday. And they came out and laid an absolute egg. So, dude, credit to Michigan, by the way. And Matt Eumanns and Dave Ross even pointed this out, because I had tweeted yesterday about how many teams have gone out and beaten USC, Alabama, and Michigan in the same season, and Alabama and Ohio State in the same season. And Matt replied back, like, and didn't even go over their season win total. So, well, what a turnaround for Michigan. And they're going to be a force again next year with Bryce Underwood coming in.
I didn't intend to ask this question, but now with Milroy yesterday, this comes into my mind. In whatever order, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward expected to be at the top of this coming year's NFL draft. I guess Jalen Milroe, who, by the way, has not announced officially yet that he's entering the NFL draft, but I guess maybe he's the third best prospect, obviously.
Is he?
That's what I mean. I don't know. Is Dart the third best prospect? Is you know, that's the question. My question to you is, who is the third best? And more than that, are we sure that Shedeur and Cam Ward are actually that good?
No. We're not. We're sure that they're good, really good college players, and I kind of went on my podcast and kind of vented about everybody with the bows and arrows and bullets at Cam Ward. But you know, I again, it's going to be a thing that we're going to be talking leading up to the draft about these teams need a quarterback and they're going to overdraft on a quarterback. And look, if you're the Giants or the Raiders or the Titans, like, you need a quarterback. But, like, the fact that the Titans took Will Levis where they did it, now he's terrible. At least they didn't waste first-round pick on him. But I still think Shedeur probably will be the first quarterback off the board, Cam Ward the second. And honestly, I have no idea what I would do with the third. I couldn't even consider taking Jalen Miller or Jackson Dart in the first round for sure.
It's a tough that I'm starting to wonder, right? Like, you, because the quarterbacks are there, we know how these teams get on draft day. They understandably, they justifiably go quarterback crazy because you're nothing in the NFL without a good one. But you do wonder, like, as you just think about Shedeur Sanders and you think about Cam Ward and then whatever else is after that, however you evaluate those guys, if in fact, just because they're there, makes it a good thing. And then the sort of other thing is, you know, I'm sitting here laughing at Antonio Pierce and the Raiders for winning these games and they fall to 8. Maybe that ends up being in some perverse way a blessing in disguise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe because, I mean, if you like what you see in the pre-camp or in the pre-draft workouts or your interviews, you can potentially trade up. But there's a chance at 8, maybe you get a Mikel Williams from Georgia. Maybe you get Abdul Carter. Maybe you get another impact defensive player. Like, there are other guys out there that can clearly make an impact. And we've talked about this as well, like taking the impact starter at receiver or tackle or cornerback or whatever, and then taking the quarterback later in the draft, and that probably being the better EV play. So maybe in the long term, I'll be sitting here that the Jets are picking 7th, and I'll be happy about it.
Current first overall odds at FanDuel, Shedeur Sanders -110, Cam Ward down to +165, and then Travis Hunter +360.
And if it's the Patriots, maybe Travis Hunter's a great bet at +360 then. Right? The Patriots lose. They've got the number one pick, and if they keep it, they're not packing a quarterback they keep it, right? That's a big thing. But why wouldn't they draft Travis Hunter?
No, you're right. Right. I hadn't really thought about it like that before.
So you brought go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and that's a team that's been void of a wide receiver threat for a big play threat for a long, long time. So that would be a welcome addition to New England.
Absolutely. Oh,
is that where we're going, by the way? We definitely going wide receiver with him in the NFL.
I think so.
Okay. Cause there's more money.
So in talking with, I had this conversation with Mark Ingram and Brady Quinn and Liner and those guys and NFL wise. And they think that now the way the NFL contracts are going with wide receivers that he can get the wide receiver money will be more than a cornerback money.
Real quick, we have 60 seconds left. You're coming back. We'll talk about the three games today here after the break. The same questions that I talked about earlier today.
Excuse me.
Is this the end of the line for Penn State in your opinion? And what was the right side? Was there a right side yesterday? You can make a case for both, can't you?
You could make a case for right side. And the question that I posed to you and Fez and Willie and Todd in the chat last night, I posed on Twitter and I said, yeah, I guess. And then of course that turned into, well, you just hate Penn State.
Of course.
Of course you have someone with the brain, logical mind like Cleve TA come in and say, yeah, I think Boise probably was a right side. Yards per play with the same. They had 13 points taken off the board. Someone who actually like think it through.
Right.
So again, you can make a case for both sides, but yeah, I will be very interested to see what the opening number is with Penn State and the winner of Georgia Notre Dame tonight, because I can't see Penn State, if they play the way they did yesterday and the way they did against SMU offensively, beating Notre Dame or Georgia. I know this. I know the Georgia coaching staff and some other coaches out there watch both teams' films, and they think Notre Dame is much better.
All right. Felica joins us for another segment, beginning with, of course, the game that starts in less than 2 hours. Three quarterfinals coming up right here on A Numbers Game at Visa.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. Happy New Year to you. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, did you bet on that Peyton Stearns match with me last night?
Of course I did. How fun was that? How was it? How great was it? She gets the break to go back up 4-3 in the second, and then immediately gets broken at love. I mean, that was fun, wasn't it?
Absolutely brutal. A 30-minute game. With 16 deuces and 9 break points. It's just the most amazing.
You know it's a new year when I hear tennis names I got to Google. Because I'm like, I don't know this God. One.
Peyton Stearns.
Well, here's one. I know, Kelly, you wouldn't have to Google Paula Badosa. I know that. But the other night, she was down a break in the third set, again, or two breaks, I think, actually, against Elena Ivanesson. And, like, it was one of those where, you know what? Ivanesson, I remember her. She's blown some big third set leads before. So I'm like, yeah, let me hop in on Badosa here. It's like plus 172 or something like that. And she immediately gets she holds her serve and she can get a break and get back on serve and has a couple of break points, blows it, and then immediately melts down on her serve as well. So that never happened.
Welcome back, tennis, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, good times.
All right, let's do these one by one today. Let's do them chronologically, starting with Texas and Arizona State, the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, quarterfinal game, where the Longhorns are now 13-point favorites. We're showing 13.5. This is trickling up and up. Total at 52. Can Arizona State cover the number here?
I don't know. I don't like the side. It feels a lot like the Clemson game as well that I really didn't have a great opinion on. The two bets I have in pocket here, I should say two. I did play Wisner over his rushing total again. I think they feel pretty confident about their ability to run the ball. And I played over 27.5 points in the first half. I just think Kenny Dillingham is one of those coaches who is everything that he has in his bag of tricks. Fake punts, going forward on fourth down, what trick plays, anything he has, he's going to break it out early in an attempt to put some points on the board. And if it goes well, they will. If it doesn't, they're going to wind up giving Texas pretty good field position. So I think we're going to see some points here in the first half. So I played over 27.5 in the first half.
By the way, speaking of the conversation we just had last segment, where does Quinn Ewers rank in your quarterback rankings in a draft? Way down, right?
Day two, probably late third round, I would think. There are some questions out there, too. Like, supposedly there are rumors floating out there that teams are really going to ante up now for him to stay one more year in college with, like, some ridiculous NIL money. And you know what? If you're Quinn Ewers, and
maybe you do.
Just throwing Miami out there as an example, but Cam Ward was not a first round pick or a top 10 pick before he went to Miami. He put up great numbers, and like maybe that's something a team like Miami or even Florida State. Well, I think Florida State did grab someone, but like, hey, Quinn, come make more money that you're going to ever make on your rookie deal in the NFL. Play a year, and maybe you have the same type of success that Cam did or whoever else. Work their way up. So he might not be done in college yet.
Jaden Daniels. I mean, why wouldn't you if you're him? Because, I mean, his stock's only gone down this year, right? Correct. We were talking about him as possibly the first quarterback off.
I have 20-1 Heisman tickets on him.
That's what, I mean, I worry about laying the points with Texas, which I did. My big concern is, can I trust Quinn Ewers in this game? It's such a new world with obviously a whole new world with what you were just describing. So many more options of these players. And that was juxtaposed against Jackson Dart, announced that he was available for that he's going to go to the draft. I'm like, bro, you don't have to announce it. You just go. Yeah. Ohio State, Oregon. Let's get to the good ones with actually short spreads.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Oregon, where Stormy is on the sideline for this again.
I know she is. Yeah. I think she's on the Ohio State sideline. I think I heard her tell Jeff the other day on the show. I grabbed Oregon +2.5.
Nice.
And I think the biggest reason why, and again, sometimes maybe I read too much into the emotional side of things, it's going to be very hard for Ohio State to play pissed off and angry against the world like they did on their home field against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. That was a game purely driven on emotion and being pissed off that everybody said they sucked, that they lost Michigan again, and they didn't know how they were going to respond, and they did, and they kicked the crap out of Tennessee. I just worry about in this environment now where people are kind of like, oh, okay, Ohio State really is that good. And yeah, they're favored again, just like they were at Autzen a couple of months ago. Oregon is going to have Birch back on defense. Oregon didn't necessarily play a great game in that first game either. And look, Ohio State, it was a coin flip game. I think if these teams play 10 times, they probably both win 5 each. But I think the emotional edge in this game and certainly the rest advantage in this game allows Oregon to heal up. The last time we saw Oregon's defense, they weren't great. So we'll see if they can improve. But I think Oregon getting the points here is the way I ultimately landed. And I will say, full disclosure, part of that is me holding some Ohio State futures that if Oregon wins, I can kind of, okay, wash my hands with it. And if they move forward, I'm still holding those futures. But I do think the signs point to Oregon potentially being on the right side.
Do you believe that this is the de facto national championship? Do you believe the winner of this game wins at all?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. Should the committee have done the seeding differently? Knowing absolutely. That they should have, yeah.
Oh, the seeding was completely screwed up. Like Ohio State should have been the 5 seed. Texas should have been moved down. Like, let's talk about the best. We can hash this out at any time.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call Tim Brando, and I'm going to have the conversation with him.
The fact that you've had now I'm wound up against it. Now I have to
sorry,
get out.
Apologize.
The fact that you have the two teams that lost the conference title games, Texas and Penn State, that had easier roads to the semis than Oregon and Georgia, the teams that won the conference titles. Is ridiculous how they saw their rankings and slotted them into what a projected bracket might look like and said, yeah, nailed it. This is perfect. This is exactly what we needed is beyond me.
Interesting. Interesting. And also interesting that someone like you is not on a committee like that, nor do you have a Heisman vote. I just want to, I'm not trying to rile you up. It's amazing.
No. I appreciate that. And again, sometimes I think that maybe I like care too much and put too much thought into it. And just my thought process might not be right, but I don't know. And that's what I said about when I talked about the teams getting in the seat. I'm like, look, I just want the best possible method to get the best possible teams in, whoever they are. If you think Indiana, SMU are the two best teams to get in, fine. Think Ole Miss and whomever, fine. I just want to make sure we're doing everything we can to get it right.
All right, one more game. Obviously, the Superdome in New Orleans. Notre Dame in Georgia. I'm looking offshore here. I'm seeing Georgia is a 1-point favorite. DraftKings had Notre Dame as a 1-point favorite. I'm looking to see if it still is that case.
I see. Yeah, and I see a lot of picks too.
A lot of pick 'em out there. What are your thoughts?
I am a little look. I just can't get over like the fact that this game is where it is line wise. Like, you just think back to all the games, and I was going to look this up. A little this afternoon, like the spreads for Notre Dame in these big top 5 type games, BCS, college football playoff type games. Like, this is the most respect Notre Dame has gotten in a game like this that I can remember for a team that hasn't won a game like this in a hell of a long time. And which led me to believe like Notre Dame might be the right side here. And I talked to a couple of people who I really trust that I talked to throughout the year, someone who is familiar with the Georgia program, who's seen them practice and been out there. And I said to him, wow, Notre Dame's getting a lot of support. And he's like, really? He goes, let me tell you. He goes, I've been to practice for the last 2 years watching. I've seen Gunnar Stockton throw against our ones on defense. He can play. So, like, he's like, don't let that. He's like, he's going to be fine. So that he feels pretty good that Stockton's going to be able to play, and talk to another person who is from, covers the sport and watches both teams, former player. And I said the same thing, posed him the same question about, is Notre Dame the right side here? And he's like, I'm surprised you would think that, because aren't they kind of the same team right now with Stockton and a running quarterback and great running backs? And doesn't Georgia just have better players? So, like, he kind of just reduced it to that. So that ultimately led me to land on Georgia. And the other interesting thing was how the Georgia players have come out and basically said, Gunnar Stockton's one of us. He's not into these materialistic things. And it really makes you wonder if this is going to be like another, remember how it was like, how can you play Jake Fromm when you got JT Daniels? How can you play Stetson Bennett when you have Justin Fields? Like,
Stetson Bennett.
It feels a little bit like this. Like, the Georgia locker room might finally have their guy. So we'll see if he can go out and play tonight like I think they expect him to.
I did
play Georgia.
Last thing, seconds. Yes or no, will Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss score 1,000,000 points tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
More than a million. Brentford double chance versus Arsenal. Brentford's gotten a result in 8 of their 9 home games this year. +160 at home against Arsenal on the double chance.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.